to Brendan Drury. Into center field, it's down. The Padres have turned this game upside down. They lead 6-4.
Which would probably indicate he's out. Now Gurriel to the Crawford boxes, and the Astros have the lead 2-1. Driving to right, well hit. Judge on the run, and Chaz McCormick, opposite field home run. 3-1, Houston.
All right, we get a few runs in the American League and National League playoffs last night as the Padres were down in a hole 4-0 after inning and a half, rally to win 5 in the 5-run fifth inning. Took the lead, would not give that up. They tie their best of 7 at 1 apiece. Game 3 between the Phillies and the Padres will be tomorrow night at 6:37 as they have a travel day. Yankees Astros began the ALCS last night, as you heard, those two homers in the sixth inning blew it open, and it was a 1-1 tie going into that. Astros bullpen did the rest. Justin Verlander, outstanding. Yankees struck out 17 times in the game. Astros struck out twice. The team that won deserved to win. The one that actually put the ball in play. What a novel concept. And so the Yankees are going to have to make some adjustments at the plate. If they're just going to swing for homers all the time, well, they're probably not going to hit enough to win 4 games out of 7 in this series. But we shall see. Also, Yankees may be a little hungover from their win, maybe literally, from the night before against the Guardians. So Astros lead that best of 7, 1-0. We have NFL starting tonight for Week 7. It's the Cardinals hosting the New Orleans Saints. Finally, a decent matchup to watch where there might be some offense. Although Saints, a lot of their star players are hurt or banged up. Both teams have had their struggles, and they're both 2-4. Both are better than those records indicate, in my opinion. Kickoff at 7:15 on Amazon Prime Video tonight, and that will be the first of many to come here this weekend with the National Football League. Of course, the Chiefs will be at the 49ers, 2 o'clock pregame. Kickoff 3:25 coming this Sunday on Z96.3 Lake. Your home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. Talk a little Chiefs coming up in a little bit. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, will join us to talk about KU's struggles on defense against Oklahoma, and then they get to go to Waco to take on Baylor, who had a few extra days to prepare because Baylor played on a Thursday. So they've got extra time to prepare for KU, and KU's the one that's got to travel. Jalen Daniels, a limited participant in practice, so we'll ask Brian about the injury situation, not only with Jalen Daniels, but Daniel Hyshaw, Lonnie Phelps, and Jacoby Bryant. You could argue that's you could argue that's their two best defensive players, certainly, and you could argue Hyshaw is one of their top two backs, and some people could say maybe he's even better. Devin Neal, I don't know. Neal I like probably better, but Hyshaw was off to a good start this year, and then, of course, Daniels, we know, was getting some Heisman Trophy consideration until he got hurt against TCU, so we'll discuss that with the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, at the bottom of the hour. All right, Dusty, the sub-state volleyball brackets came out yesterday. We also have some athletes of the week and our broadcast schedule to hit upon.
Yeah, I'm going to do athletes of the week first because I don't have the brackets right in front of me yet, but Osborne Junior Gracie Reiner and freshman Levy Reiner, as well as Beloit Junior Ashlyn Knight, have been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. All three athletes brought home medals from 3-2-1A State Tennis Tournament in Wichita, in Topeka this past weekend. The Reiner sisters of Osborne finished in sixth place in doubles. They had first round bye and followed that with a win over Marysville, and then quarterfinals they lost to Heston but came back with a win over Ellsworth in the backside of the bracket, and then beat the other Marysville team and got in the fifth place match, falling to Smoky Valley there and finishing in sixth place. They finished the year with a record of 19-4. Knight finished the weekend at 4-3 and the season at 18-10. For Beloit, she picked up a 10th place medal at state, open to the 3-set win over Pierce of Kingman, and then lost to Weiss of Sacred Heart on the backside. A win over Koster of Conway Springs put her into the medal rounds in that first round. She beat Brown of Sterling to move on to the consolation quarters, and then lost to Kramer of Marysville. Bounced back with a win over Russum of Phillipsburg to make the 9th place match before losing to Rauchholz of Smoky Valley for 10th place. So again, Gracie Reiner, Levy Reiner, Ashlyn Knight are athletes of the week from NCKSSports.com and Cunningham Telephone and Cable. So congratulations to them on those honors as far as the Athlete of the Week is concerned. You can read much more about that at ncksports.com. We look at the volleyball substates. As Wade said, those are out, and the Beloit Lady Trojans will be at the Minneapolis substate in Class 3A. Beloit is the number one seed in that one, and they'll be taking on Riley County in the first round at 2 o'clock on Saturday. You can find all these brackets posted, by the way, at ncksports.com. Don't have time to go through all the matchups in these brackets, but we'll tell you who our area teams are competing against. Smith Center is the number two seed at the 2A substate in Waukini, hosted by Trigo there. Smith Center, the number two, hosting or taking on the number seven seed Hill City there in the first round of that bracket. Then in Quinter is where Lakeside and Osborne will be competing. Lakeside is the number three seed. Their first round match will be against six seed Oberlin Decatur Community. And then Osborne's number five seed, and they'll take on host school Quinter, the number four seed in the first round there at Quinter coming up. And then at Clifton Clyde substate, Sylvan Lucas is the number one seed there in 1A Division 1 at 34-2 record. They'll have a first round bye and would move on to play the winner of the four seed Clifton Clyde against five seed Rock Hills there in that substate in 1A D1. And Lincoln is the number three seed in that substate. They take on number six seed Blue Valley Randolph on Saturday in Clyde. And St. John's is hosting 1A Division 2 substate with most of our area teams competing there. St. John's Tipton is the number one seed. They have a first round bye. They'll move on to the semis where they'll face the winner of the 4-5 matchup between Southern Cloud and Pike Valley. Thunder Ridge is the number two seed, and they have a first round bye as well. They'll place the winner of three seed Stockton against six seed Natoma. So a look at most of our area teams there. And if you missed any of that, again, all those brackets are posted at ncksports.com. High school football coverage. Tonight we have our high school football locker room chats. We'll chat with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas around 5:15 this evening. Those will get underway. You can listen online at katycountry94.com or on the air here at Katy Country 94 as well. If you ever missed those locker room chats, go back and listen to them on our locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com as well. Coming up tomorrow night, high school game night coverage. We have the Football Express at 5:40 presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable. Then we have games on Katy Country 94. Rock Hills is at Washington County in 8-man Division 1 district play. Pregame 6:30, kickoff 7 o'clock on Z96.3 The Lake. Same times. We have Pike Valley at Lakeside in 8-man Division 2 district action. And then 6:45 start time for the video stream. Beloit is at TMP Marion, 2A District 8 action. Everything's locked up for Beloit as far as a district title, but they have that game tomorrow night, 6:45, 7 o'clock kickoff on ncksports.com with the Beloit Trojan Channel. And we will finish our game night coverage, as always, the local high school football scoreboard show presented by State Farm Insurance Beloit and Osborne at 10:05 tomorrow night. So stay tuned for all of that. That's your update on local sports here in North Central Kansas.
All right. The NBA last night, more games on the schedule. Night two of the NBA. Pistons beat the Magic 113-109. I love those pop-up ads. Wizards beat the Pacers 114-107. The Hawks defeated the Rockets 117-107. Pelicans blew out the Nets 130-108. Pelicans, one of my sleepers, especially if Zion's healthy. Bulls beat the Heat 116-108. Raptors beat the Cavaliers 108-105. Grizzlies and the Knicks, a great game last night. Grizzlies win in overtime 115-112. The Oklahoma City Thunder fall to the Timberwolves 115-108. Dusty Spurs get run 129-102 by Charlotte. Utah, remember, they got rid of their best players. They rolled the Nuggets 123-102. Colin Sexton looked pretty good last night. Trailblazers beat the Kings 115-108. And when I went to bed last night, the Suns were kicking the Mavericks were kicking you-know-what out of the Suns, just like in the playoffs last year. And I pull up my phone this morning, and the Suns made a remarkable comeback, down 22, down 15 in the fourth, came back and won by two over the Mavericks, 107-105. I'm sure that felt kind of good for the Suns, because they were getting blown out there in Game 7 at home. Embarrassing season ended that way. And it looked like it just picked up where they left off. The Mavericks did the first half, and then the Suns found a way to come back.
Yeah, I saw part of the end of that. It was pretty furious there from the Suns coming back. And, yeah, it's Dallas is a team that will be interesting to keep track of this year, I feel like, because I think they're going to be one that could be in the mix of things at the end of the season.
I agree with you. This is funny. I saw this. I was like, man, if only he did say this. I mean, this would be awesome. So the Nets lost last night 130-108, and somebody put this on. It's a spoof account, I would assume. KD with a bold statement after the Nets blowout loss to the Pelicans. Picture of KD, and he's got, quote, "I got Martin Luther Irving and Brick Simmons on my team. Cut me some bleeping slack." I'll laugh so hard if that was true. yeah. Yes, that's about all I'm going to say about that. Okay, the Chiefs. There's a lot of rumors that Chiefs might make a move. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, talked about different options that are out there. The one that is most appealing to me would be a trade for Brian Burns, defensive end for the Carolina Panthers. 9 sacks twice in his career. He's a first-round pick in 2019. He's only 24. He's owed, well, it's not owed. His full contract's $2.3 million this year. That's not that hard to fit onto the books. Next year, it grows to $16 million, but you have Clark coming off the books, and you might have other people coming off the books. So it would be affordable. Chiefs could make it work, I'm sure. It's just a matter of what the Chiefs want to do. They cleared some cap space, $3.5 million, with Kelce's contract on Saturday. It was reported on Monday, but it actually happened Saturday. So for those that are saying, oh, hey, oh, that's reaction. That's what the Bills made the Chiefs do. Now, they actually already were planning this before the Bills game. Travis Kelce thinks there's a move. Something's in the air. He's all for OBJ coming to Kansas City. So let's talk a little OBJ since we can fill a little bit of time. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. I've had this very strong conversation, disagreement with my oldest son about OBJ, as I talked about yesterday for just a little bit. And I pointed out he's coming off a torn ACL. I pointed out that he forced his way out of New York. He forced his way out of Cleveland. And my son says, yes, but he has a Super Bowl ring. And I said, well, so does McCall Hardman. So what's your point? Yes, he has a ring, and he played one quarter of that game, and he got hurt. He was playing very well in the Super Bowl. And I will, and I told my son this, and then we had somebody text me yesterday saying, you know, OBJ, usually anything near him, he'll catch. I saw him make some drops last year, but he makes the tough catch, no doubt about that. But I told my son, and I told this person text me, I said, listen, I'm okay with OBJ being a Chief if the Chiefs deem him a guy that's going to help them win a Super Bowl and get to the Super Bowl and overcome the Bills and the AFC. I'm okay with it, but I need the OBJ from the 3 months in L.A. That's the OBJ I need. And you may say, well, wait a minute. Don't you want the OBJ from New York that, you know, had like 80, 90 catches and tons of touchdowns and highlights and 1,000 yards receiving? Nope. Don't need that. The Chiefs don't need a guy like that. The Chiefs have plenty of guys that if they wanted to feed would get 1,000 yards receiving. Juju Smith-Schuster would get 1,000. Kelce's going to get 1,000 if he stays healthy. I would argue if they force-fed a few other guys, they could get 1,000 yards receiving. So that's not the thing. Odell Beckham Jr. comes to the Chiefs. He might have a game where he has one catch for 7 yards. Next week, 3 catches for 38 yards. Then he might have a game, 7 catches, 106 yards, and a touchdown. And then he may have 2 catches for 29 yards and a touchdown. Then he may have 4 catches for 43 yards and a couple of drops and no touchdowns. And then he may have 1 catch for 10 yards. And I'm okay with all that. Mm-hmm. All those stats are fine with me. Because here's the key. Coming off a torn ACL, can OBJ, will the defense have to honor OBJ if OBJ, if you, here's the thinking. If you have OBJ, that's one more guy to defend, and then you're less likely to double, say, a Travis Kelce. Because right now, a lot of teams, they're playing zone, they're sitting back two high safeties, so Odell Beckham's not going to beat anybody deep, because if Scantling can't do it, Hill wasn't doing it at the end of the year, by the way. Hill didn't do it all last year, very basically. The only big plays he had was a catch, caught it in motion, ran the last 50. He wasn't going vertical straight down the field and being wide open like he used to be. Defenses are not giving the Chiefs that, which is smart. Mm-hmm. They're basically saying, you, Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, you have to be not so stubborn, and you need to learn how to check it down and take a first down instead of trying to gain 30, gain the 10. If it's third and if it's second and 7, instead of going for the home run, you need to just pick up the first down on a swing pass to the running back or a check down to a receiver right in front of you. Or maybe just take 5 yards on second and 7, and now it's 3rd and 2 instead of forcing it, and then you got 3rd and 7. The Chiefs offense is not as sexy as it once was. Part of that, well, it wasn't as sexy last year as it had been years prior, even with Tyreek Hill. It's less sexy without Tyreek Hill. So people think OBJ makes it sexier. That he's a name brand. We talked about this yesterday. But the Chiefs don't need a guy to come in and be the number one target. They don't need a guy to come in and average 8 catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns every game like the New York Giants needed when OBJ was in his prime. The Chiefs have enough weapons. The reason you bring OBJ in is, one, it would maybe help to where teams would not be able to double Travis Kelce. And Kelsey's still getting his catches and still getting his touchdowns. So do we really need OBJ from that standpoint? To me, the reason you bring OBJ in would be an indictment on various people. It would be an indictment on Brett Veach. I'll explain in a moment. It would be an indictment on Andy Reid. And it would be an indictment on Mecole Hardman and Marquise Valdes-Scantling. And Justin Watson, too. What's Justin Watson done since early in the year? Nothing.
That's very fair.
He looked good in preseason, yeah. Right? Why would I say it's an indictment on Brett Veach? Brett Veach could have signed OBJ in the offseason. Now, torn ACL, probably going to wait and see his recovery. Get it. I'm not going to blame Brett Veach for not bringing OBJ in then. He can still do it now. He went out and got Juju Smith-Schuster. I think that was a good pickup. It is a one-year deal. He has a monster year. He's going to get a payday somewhere else, and the Chiefs got to decide if they're going to pay it. He brought in Marquise Valdes-Scantling, who has a history of some drops. He runs a 4.37 40. He's a tall target. He has not been really much of this offense this year. Maybe he'll figure it out. Mecole Hardman, we're still waiting, and if we're still waiting, I don't know if we should wait anymore. Because Mecole Hardman and Mahomes seem to be never on the same page, and they've been playing together for quite some time, but Juju, in a short period of time, can be on the same page. Hardman's not a great route runner. He doesn't come back to the football many times. He's flat in his routes. He's looking for the home run himself because I think he's like, well, I'm so fast, I'm going to be the next Tyreek Hill. Well, guess what? Tyreek Hill didn't have two high safeties early part of his career until defenses adjusted. Mecole Hardman's already got to deal with that. So it's an indictment, I think, on Hardman because he hasn't done much this year. It's an indictment on Scantling because he hasn't done much this year. It's an indictment on Brett Veach because, one, he believed in Hardman. He drafted Hardman instead of DK Metcalf, okay? Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know DK had some neck issues and stuff. There was some red flags, but that was the perhaps overreaction to the Tyreek Hill off-the-field situation trying to find a mini-me Tyreek Hill. That's on Brett Veach, and Mecole Hardman doesn't pan out, and DK Metcalf looks like he's on his way to maybe a Hall of Fame career. That is on Brett Veach. You bring in Juju. That looks good. Congratulations. Well done by Brett Veach, but Scantling hasn't done anything yet. Sky Moore, if he doesn't come along, and I think he will. I think it's way too early right off Sky Moore. But let's say Sky Moore ends up being a fourth receiver at best, and he's just a punt returner. That's on Brett Veach. That's an indictment of Brett Veach. But I'm not putting this all on Brett Veach because I think Brett Veach, one, there's going to be time for these guys to develop. That's why I still think they're not going to get OBJ. But if they do, who gets less snaps? Is it Hardman? Who you invested a second round pick in?
I feel like it's got to be.
Based
on his production.
Is it Scantling? He hasn't done much, but you signed him a 3-year deal. Is it Scantling? Justin Watson probably won't play hardly at all if OBJ.
He's out of the mix pretty much.
So I told you it's an indictment on the GM, it's an indictment on those receivers, but it's also an indictment on Andy Reid. Andy Reid is the offensive genius, right?
Mm hmm.
Why can't he draw up some plays where Scantling can, like I said before, they haven't thrown one up to Scantling really yet.
Yeah.
He's 6'4". I mean, well, the big thing, we got a guy that's slightly slower than Tyreek Hill, but he's 6 inches taller. And Mahomes talked about offseason, it's going to be nice to have some big guys to throw to. Not doing it. Justin Watson, he doesn't even throw it up to anymore since week one or week two. So we've got these taller receivers. And we're not really throwing the ball to them except for Juju, and he's more of a possession receiver underneath across the field. And so there's an indictment on Andy Reid. Andy Reid has guys that are talented that have had success in previous spots, or Mecole Hardman at times has had some success in their passing game, and they don't now. Now, is that the defense being smarter, knowing how to handle the Chiefs? Is that Andy Reid not evolving as a play caller? Is it Eric Bieniemy's fault because he's actually calling all the plays, which nobody around here believes? Is it on Mahomes that he's just simply missing guys and he's not trusting these new receivers in some cases? It might be an indictment on Mahomes as well. But I think when you bring OBJ into the Chiefs, you're admitting you made a mistake somewhere in the offseason with your wide receiving core. Either you made a mistake believing Hardman was going to flourish when given the opportunity in a contract year, or you believe that Scantling was going to flourish in this offense, or Justin Watson was going to be the diamond in the rough, or Sky Moore is going to be the best receiver in this draft, even though he's a second-round pick. Because I'm okay bringing OBJ in if he can take away snaps from Hardman, if Hardman ain't going to be on the same page with Mahomes, I'm all for it. Next question, though. Let's say the Chiefs sign OBJ next week, because it doesn't look like he's going to be this week. Let's say it's next week. How close is OBJ to actually getting on the field and playing at a high level with his injury? It's going to take him time. On top of that, it's going to take him time to get acclimated to the offense. So if you bring OBJ in, really, honestly, you're hoping that he can contribute probably the last four games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then you really hope he's figured it out and healthy going in the postseason. This would be a postseason move. I don't think OBJ really is going to help you a lot in the regular season unless he's a heck of a lot smarter than Josh Gordon, Le'Veon Bell, and all these guys they've brought in that haven't been able to pick things up very quickly. Or even Sky Moore, who's a young guy. It's taken him a while. Now he's starting to get in offense a little bit more. Might be part of that's Hardman not doing his job. Maybe part of it's more figuring out the offense better, understanding it better, being in the right spots, knowing where Mahomes wants to go. And then you got to build the cohesion. You know, Kelce and Mahomes have been together now 5 years. This is the 5th year as a starter Mahomes. They're on the same page. It is amazing him and Juju, who worked a lot in the offseason together in Texas, they're on the same page. How long is it going to take for OBJ and Mahomes to get on the same page? Because, listen, I watched the Rams play football last year with OBJ, and I saw the first few games where he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? One, he didn't know the offense yet. Two, they had just so many plays that they could run that he could be running. And three, him and Stafford, there a few times they were completely on the wrong page and there were picks. So they're going to be growing pains. Mm-hmm. Do you have enough time? Chiefs are going into week 7. You got 10 games after this weekend. You do have a bye, which maybe that's the time to bring OBJ in. Have a little bit more time to work with him. But how much of an impact will OBJ actually have in the regular season based on the things that I just said? Because if you think OBJ is just going to miraculously be back to the old young OBJ after a torn ACL, which he wasn't even that before he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl, and you believe he's going to come in and be your number one wide receiver, I'm going to tell you, I don't think he is a number one wide receiver anymore. I think he's a 2. Now, I think he has flashes of being a 1, and that might be certainly good enough. And will it help the offense? Possibly. But people need to understand, you just don't plug him into the equation, and he automatically, miraculously knows the whole playbook, and he miraculously knows exactly where Mahomes wants to go, and Mahomes improvises a ton, as we know. It's going to take a lot of time. So you get OBJ, what are fans going to expect? Oh, my God, we're going to be unbeatable on offense, unstoppable. We got OBJ. Well, you're not getting the OBJ from his days in New York. You're not. And that's okay. The key is, how long will it take if you brought him in?
Yeah, my anticipation would be that he wouldn't even be active until, like, the last four games of the season.
I would almost say that's right.
You mess with that. You work on him. You get him in practices. You get him acclimated to what you're doing. And there's no sense in having him out there unless you feel like you just can't play with Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman anymore. And it's just like, it's not going to work. So yeah, Let's get him out there. Let's get him reps on the field. But I feel like, you know, the last 4 weeks of the season, if things are going right for the Chiefs and they have a spot where they feel comfortable with working him into everything, and it is 100% a postseason pickup for me, if you're asking me.
Yeah.
And if he can get acclimated to everything and then move in and then become what he kind of became last year for the Rams late in the season before he got injured. You know, I think that's what you're looking at if you go get OBJ, no matter if it's the Chiefs or whoever it is.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at, because he still needs time to get acclimated to actual physical gameplay in the NFL and things like that. Not just, like you said, not just picking up the offense, but everything else that goes along with that recovery from the injury.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I completely look at this as a postseason pickup for no matter who does it.
I'll disagree with you just to a small extent on something. But the wild card is, where is OBJ in his recovery from the torn ACL? But let's look back to Josh Gordon. The Chiefs picked up Josh Gordon, and it was he didn't play the first game he could technically have because they picked him up. He did play about a week and a half after he was signed. But they only had a few plays that he could actually be a part of, but he was on the field. And they were trying to bump it up as they went, a little bit as they went. And he never was an impact, as we know. But they did get him out there within a week and a half after signing him. But the thing is, Josh Gordon wasn't coming off a torn ACL. But there was a question about his conditioning, because he hadn't played in a long time.
Yeah.
That would be the question for me, OBJ. So that would be another reason why I would agree with you that it might be pushed off later in the year to really get him out there. But if he's actually healthy
and
that's
ready
what I'm saying,
to go, they'll, then, I think it'll be maybe
they'll sprinkle him in early. Yes,
in.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's
but
what
I
I'm
just,
saying.
I'm kind of the impression that he's probably not going to be ready physically to go right away.
Yeah. I'm thinking like a week 10.
Yeah.
If he signs with anybody here very soon.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're thinking about a Chiefs move and you like OBJ, you might be thinking after the Niner game, you've got to buy. You'd have 2 weeks to at least get him situated where he could at least have a few plays, a package of plays.
Putting things in his mind, even if he can't go out there and do it.
Right, exactly. So we'll see. I'm okay, but I want the – I don't want the – listen, I know I'm not going to get the OBJ from New York, and I don't want that attitude anyway, but I know I'm not going to get that production, not in this offense.
No.
I mean, Juju's not going for 105 catches like he did with Pittsburgh one year. We know that, right? So – he's not going to be the alpha dog. That's Travis Kelce. But if he can take pressure off the offense by being a guy that's better than Hardman or Scantling or Justin Watson, I am all for that. But he's got to fit in like he did the last 3 months with the Rams. And the Rams and his teammates, they all said that he was great, fit in perfectly. They loved him as a teammate. And if that's the OBJ you're getting, even though it's not the super successful on-the-field player that he was in New York, but if the attitude's better and he fits in, I am all for that OBJ. So we shall see. OBJ, OBJ, OBJ. Now watch, he won't even play this year. He's not even ready to play. I don't know. But I think there's other places the Chiefs could go to get a midseason acquisition that could help him more than OBJ, but that's just my opinion.